Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aarti Pharma Labs Limited Q4 and FY2024 Earnings Conference Call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We manage the investor relations of Aarti Pharma Labs Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the fourth quarter and financial year ending 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could result, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us today Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Chairman, Mrs. Hetal Gogri-Gala, Vice Chairperson and Managing Director, Mr. Piyush Lakhani, Chief Financial Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Gogri to start with his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome all the analysts and investors to this earnings call on the performance of Aarti Pharma Labs for the quarter and the year ended March 31st, 2024. Our results documents were shared with you earlier, and I hope you would have got a chance to go through them. To begin with, let me provide you the business highlights. The company operates in three distinct areas within the pharmaceutical industry. One, xanthine derivatives, two, API and intermediates, and three, CDMO, CMO. The xanthine derivative segment contributed to 44% of the turnover in Q4. As you know, we have the largest manufacturing facility in India for the xanthine derivatives. In order to fortify our position, we are undertaking brownfield capacity expansion and working diligently towards debottlenecking of our plants. The API intermediate business contributed 37.6% of the turnover in Q4. And out of the API and intermediate turnover, the regulated market contributed 54%, and the rest of the world contributed 34%. And the balance 12% was from the non-regulated market. The regulated business continues to remain our area of focus while offering higher profitability and stability to our business. Strategically, we are present in lifestyle drug market, which is low volume, high value business. This category includes antihypertensives, antidiabetic steroids, and oncology drugs, which are sticky in nature. We offer dual advantage to the customer, that is one, lower cost due to backward integration, and two, minimum dependence on China for KSM. These advantages position us as a favorable partner among global customers. Third segment, CDMO-CMO business, contributed 18.4% of the turnover in Q4 in CDMO-CMO space. We are presently working with 16 customers on 40 projects, of which 21 projects are commercial and 19 are under different stages of development at customer's end. This highlights our presence in late-phase projects. We are also working on expanding existing chemistry capabilities of peptides and oligo, nucleotides, ADC linkers, etc. In CDMO-CMO, our USP is strong expertise in commercial scale-up manufacturing, which enables us to forge long-term supply partnership with our customers. Now I will share the key financial highlights. Consolidated financials, I am pleased to announce that Q4 FY24, we have recorded the highest EBITDA and the net profit till date. For the Q4 FY24, the consolidated EBITDA from the operations stood at 117.5 crores as compared to 95.7 crores in the previous quarter. That is an increase of 23% QOQ, and on a YOY basis, the consolidated EBITDA grew by 47%. The consolidated tax for the quarter was 65.3 crores, which was higher by 24% QOQ and 52% YOY. For the entire year, FY24, the consolidated EBITDA stood at rupees 386 crores. This was 13% higher YOY. The consolidated PAT for the FY24 was higher by 12% at rupees 217 crores, resulting in EPS of 23.9 rupees. The consolidated net debt to equity as on 31st March 24 was 0.14%. Standalone financials. For Q4 FY24, the standalone EBITDA was 107.3 crores. This was higher by 22% QOQ and 40% YOY. Standalone PAT for the quarter was 63 crores, which was 31% higher QOQ and 58% higher YOY. For this entire year, 24, the standalone EBITDA stood at 346.2 crores, and this was 12% higher compared to the FY23. The standalone PAT for the financial year 24 was higher by 17% at rupees 201 crore, and this translates into a standalone EPS of 22.1 rupees. The return on capital employed improved to 18% for the FY24 as compared to 17.7% for the FY23. The board has recommended a final dividend of rupees 1 per share in addition to an interim dividend of rupees 2 per share paid earlier in this year. Let me now share the updates on the ongoing expansion projects. We are expanding our relationships with the several large corporations for supply of xanthine derivatives, primarily caffeine. For the same purpose, we are in the process of enhancing our production capacity of our xanthine derivatives units such that additional land parcels are likely to be purchased, and we target to complete this brownfield expansion project by the end of FY25, and thereby a total production capacity of 750 metric ton per month will be achieved. This expansion will entail a capital expenditure and additional working capital borrowings. Our project at Atali, primarily focusing on CDMO, CMO, and intermediate manufacturing, is progressing as per plan, and we expect the commissioning by Q4 FY25. As discussed with you last time, we are nearing completion of semi-commercial block at our USFDA intermediate manufacturing site at Vapi, and this is expected to become operational in the current quarter. I would also like to share that we have undertaken a project in Akola, Maharashtra, to set up a solar power plant. This will help us to get the clean and green electricity, which is estimated to fulfill our one-third of our power requirement and reduce overall manufacturing cost at the same time. It will support the sustainability goals by reducing the carbon footprint. These steps underscore our deep and continuous commitment to business expansion, sustainability, self-reliance, and keeping up with the customer's needs. Talking about the future outlook, we expect to achieve EBITDA growth of approximately 10 to 12% in FY25 and remain well-positioned to achieve a long-term goal of around 15% annual growth in next 3 years. I now request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Rahul Jain from Credent Wealth. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a wonderful set of numbers, sir. Sir, my first question is with regards to CDMO. We have done exceptionally well on this segment of the business for last two quarters, and in the current quarter we have almost reached about 76 crores of sales from CDMO CMO versus 53 crores, and for the full year today it stands at 177 crores compared to around 100 crores last year. So sir, two questions. What is the sustainability of this segment to grow further from here? In the previous call you had spoken that we expect this segment to grow around 40-50% for next 2-3 years. So you can share some more details on the sustenance of and the growth of this segment.
Yeah, as I mentioned to you earlier and as is reported, you know, now we are working with, you know, more than 16 companies on 40 projects, out of which 21 have become commercial. And with this expansion and the way in which the progress of these projects happens with our partners, you know, we will see growth in this business area. And that's why in last call I had projected and we still retain that kind of a number possibility in this business segment. So we have done all the right things. So now we have a new R&D center which is completely focused towards innovator. We are also investing in a new manufacturing facility which can cater to the additional requirement of manufacturing capacities. And with the right regulatory focus, I think we can grow this business faster.
Mm-hmm. And sir, with regards to margins, again, this quarter we have recorded record margins both on the EBITDA and the gross margins. Our gross margins today stand for standalone entity at almost 55% and on console basis at 50%. So how do we see the sustainability? What is driving these margins? It is only on increased CDMO contribution. And secondly, what do we feel are the sustainable gross margins?
Yeah, definitely the CDMO business is more lucrative than the rest of the businesses that we are operating. However, our overall other business segments are also, you know, API and the caffeine business segment is also having reasonable gross margins. Quarter to quarter, as we deliver and meet the customer's requirement, the quarterly there would be ups and downs, but we are hopeful that we will be able to maintain close to 50% gross margin, I think.
Yeah, at annual basis.
Yes, and 50% on console basis, right?
Yes.
We generally talk about annual, you know, standalone, because console we have a trading entity also which gets consoled, and in that trading activity we may not have that kind of gross margin.
Because
so
standalone gross margins are 55%, sir. That's why I asked that question.
Yeah, so that will rationalize to around 50, long term.
Fair enough. Just to add to it,
apart from the margin, you know, percentage margins, we normally track the absolute numbers because the percentage margin is again a function of FG prices, which in turn is a function of RM prices. So at least, you know, in some of the business, when the RM prices goes down, like in Zentin or for consolidation, we have Ganesh Polychem, where the pass-through mechanism is, you know, when the RM prices go down, we pass that you know, advantage on to the customers. So normally, you know, we track the absolute growth in the profit numbers.
Sure. So with regards to your guidance on EBITDA growth, previous presentation and con calls, you were talking about EBITDA growth of 12-17% for next 2-3 years. And in the current presentation, you have mentioned that we expect EBITDA growth of around 10-12% in FY25. Now, if I just take the average of last 2 quarters EBITDA, even if I sustain that average of last 2 quarters, we can be at around 10% EBITDA growth for the full year FY25 compared to FY24. So are we trying to be a bit more conservative on giving guidance for FY25 for the EBITDA growth?
Yeah, for the FY25, we are already on sitting on 2 good quarters. And of course, the market is volatile, as you know, the pharmaceutical industry. However, we are trying to be more and more in the stickier business and with the profitable business. So generally, we want to be moderately conservative in all our, guidances.
Okay. And last question, sir, with regards to the CAPEX, which has been completed till date, this CAPEX, which has been completed, you had done some bit of it in FY23 and also FY24. So typically, as we speak today, at today's prices of all the segments, typically what kind of business can be generated on a standalone basis from all the 3 segments put together at optimum utilization?
Yeah, currently we are almost utilizing our, Xanthine plant at 90% capacity utilization, and other plants are also utilized at 85% capacity currently with the expansion. But now going forward in next 1.5 years, we will have a lot of capexes which are upcoming, like Atali manufacturing plant, a new plant, new block at USFDA location in Vapi, as well as the debottlenecking of Xanthine plant. So all these three projects will enter a lot of capacity unlocking or new capacity addition which will come up for the FY26. And that is when we will see a growth 26 onwards as we occupy more and more of these capacities with the production.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. And wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pratik Bantia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello team. Great set of performance. A couple of questions from my side. So firstly, in the last quarter, we were supposed to start the backward integration for Xanthine, which would reduce our dependence. So has that led to some bit increase in the margins, or and was the plant started in the fourth quarter?
No, that manufacturing asset is operationally ready, but looking at the current manufacturing costs and the prices of product availability from China, we are not opting to continuously operate that plant.
Okay.
Looking at very lower pricing availability from the market. So we are keeping it ourselves ready, but there is an upper cap. So if the prices go above certain value, then we will always operate our facility. So that has not impacted on our margins per se.
Understood. So how should we understand the improvement in the EBITDA margin? It's driven by, if you could, in terms of which was like the segment which has the highest impact, followed by the next segment. If you can just line up that way, that which segment has impacted the highest in terms of incremental EBITDA for the quarter?
Yeah, we have seen improvement of overall performance in CDMO, CMO segment, and also API and intermediate segment has also done well.
Okay.
Traditionally, our Xanthine segment was doing well, but now overall with this growth percentage, I think the Xanthine has peaked, in terms of with the current capacities that we have, and we are anyway further going to enhance our capacity next 12 months or so. So then we will again have more improvements from that segment going forward.
Interesting. And as you mentioned, Q1 25, our factory at Vapi is going to see some expansion. So is it the API or is it going to be on CDMO side?
This current quarter we will have an expansion. So we are going to have additional manufacturing block, which will basically it's a semi-commercial block. And we will have more of these capacities so that we can do more feeding projects or the early requirements of the customers of 200 kg can be met from this manufacturing site.
Okay, so it will reflect in Q2, the revenue?
Yes.
Q2 okay. Onwards, yeah.
And it is around 28 reactors of 28,000 liters capacity, right?
Yeah, so they are very small reactors, and that was a gap that we had in our current setup of intermediate manufacturing to have this size of the reactor, which is predominantly required for the customers for their development stage, so which we are trying to fulfill.
Okay. And again, on the CDMO, so incrementally, I think two new molecules have been commercialized in the quarter. If you just go by the commentary made in the presentation. So what sort of incremental revenue would those two new molecules be contributing Can you give us again your outlook on CDMO, which therapies is more focused upon, and what sort of are we, what is the share of innovator you look over the next 2 years? Because it's CDMO, CMO both. Yeah, that.
Yeah, we are operating both the segments of CDMO and CMO. And largely, it is more CMO which brings larger revenue, repetitiveness in the business. We are currently working with 16 innovators or the partners. And as you see that there are 40 products that we work with them, and these products have grown over a period of this entire year. We started the year with close to 28 products, and now we are at 40 products. So we have added 12 new projects in this year. Mm-hmm. And these projects normally take 2-3 years to, you know, fully grow minimum. So as the projects grow, and depending on the product outlook of the customers, but we have some good projects with customers, large customers, which have shared good outlook with us.
Okay, so should we assume around, you mentioned around 30-35% growth in CDMO for the next 2-3 years?
No, we are projecting, yeah, that kind of, overall we are projecting higher growth in this segment, so.
Interesting. Okay. So, and sir, so since Xanthine is at 90% in the fourth quarter exit, until our new expansion comes, which will take a capacity to 9,000 per annum, then this number 220 crore which we did in Xanthine should remain at this, right, for the next fourth quarter till the time we have capacity.
Yeah, the production will remain same.
Yeah, the top line is dependent on the overall pricing and the metrics, how the prices are sustained in the marketplace. But I think in the spot market, the prices have now bottomed out, so we are not going to see further, prices going down. That is what is the current understanding of the market that we have.
Acha. And
we will have the expansion only next year. So the expanded capacity will come up. Still, I think there is a possibility that we may further increase our utilization to 95% also. So that may happen in this year. But later on, next year we will have higher capacity.
Okay. And on the API side
I'm
also...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. May we request you to join the question queue as we have several participants waiting for the turn.
Okay, just the last question, then I'll join back. Yeah. And sir, last question on the cash flow statement. We have taken a R&D project write-off of 6.76 crore. What is it regarding?
So, Pratik, that is the projects that, basically we stop working on, we think that, there is not enough market or we don't want to pursue. So then we do this exercise every quarter, and whichever projects we think we are not going to pursue in future, we take that as an expense in P&L.
Okay, thanks. I'll join back. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Vikash Sharda from NT Asset Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, good evening. I have 2 questions. One is, what is the CapEx guidance for FY25? And secondly, in your opening remarks, you mentioned about the brownfield expansion of Xanthine. So could you, I didn't get it correctly. Could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, in total for the FY25 is going to be capex heavy for our overall size. I think we are going to have a total capex of around 600 crores happening in this year with the 3 big projects as we mentioned in my speech. And out of this, the Xanthine overall capacity, which is currently at 5,000, we are debottlenecking it to 9,000 metric ton in the existing assets that we have by taking adjacent plots and doing a brownfield expansion.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ahmed Madha from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I just wanted to understand the CMO business a little better. So the kind of products we have in the pipeline, are this the full APIs or just the key starting materials and intermediates for the NCE?
In the CMO business, we have largely the products are in KSM, RSM, regulated starting material, key starting material, a large component of them. We still also operate on few APIs, but 80-90% of the portfolio is in this first two segments.
Okay. And what are the shipments or the scale-up which has happened in the last two quarters? So can you give some sort of understanding on what kind of products are there or what kind of products we are selling? Number two, will the consistency in the volumes will be there in the CMO every quarter or it will be fluctuating in second half or in one or two quarters? How will it function?
Yeah, basically, we will see quarter-to-quarter fluctuations because, you know, normally these are multi-stage products that we produce, and if we have the orders of these products, then, you know, it may take more than a quarter to do the manufacturing, and these are all campaign-based products that our innovators partners order with us. In terms of the profile of the products, you know, these are all, we are working with 21 which are already commercialized products. 19 products are under development. So that is the current profile that we have.
And we'll be the only sole supplier for the KSMs which we are supplying, or there'll be multiple suppliers?
Most of the innovators and the manufacturers, they have multiple sources. So there could be a Chinese source or other European source possibly for these products.
Okay. So are we seeing any shift from the other suppliers to us?
We are also basically trying to pitch in phase 2-3 when the innovators are looking for more commercially viable sources, and that is where we are trying to pitch in. And the movement is basically between the medicinal chemistry companies, those which are operating in that space, to us, where we are more commercialized focused company. So that is the shift which we are seeing. Geographically, also, I think innovators have been largely dependent on China for KSM, RSM, and they want to reduce their dependence on China, for sure.
Okay. The second question is on the xanthine derivatives. So if I look at the standalone numbers and I look at the annual reduction in the top line, is it about 15%? So can you share how was the volume growth and the price decline this year, the breakup between the volume and the pricing?
Yes, so there is definitely a volume growth vis-a-vis the last year. As earlier we explained that one brownfield expansion that we did last year. However, the xanthine prices have reduced drastically, and along with that, the raw material prices also have reduced. So because of that, you are seeing the top line degrowth.
Can you quantify the price difference, the range, about 20%?
Yeah, price difference would be around 20 to 25%. So it will be around 20 to 25% price reduction, and I think capacities have gone up by around 12 to 15%.
And just want to clarify on the capex part. You said 600 crore capex. So can you just break it down in the three projects which you are doing?
Yes, sir. Major one is going to be the Atali project. That is, you know, the greenfield project that is coming up at Atali in Gujarat. So that's going to be about 300 crores or so.
Okay.
Then additionally, you know, as Rashesh Bhai clarified in the beginning itself, we are expanding the xanthine capacity at Tarapur. And then and there are additionally, we are also going to continue to spend on intangible asset development also. Another 40 to 50 crores will go on that.
Yeah, and we are also spending almost 80 to 90 crore on the solar plant this year. So, yeah.
80 to 90 crore on solar plant.
Yeah.
Sorry? I didn't get
so that. That will basically take care of our one-third of our power needs. So, once we have our own solar, we will have a huge savings in electricity, energy consumption, and spend that we have.
I just want to deep dive a little bit into the CapEx part. So, in venting, if the capacity will go from 5,000 to 9,000, what will be the CapEx cost?
We are still working on the number, so we are not saying, but the numbers would be in 130 to 180 crore in that range. So, we are still freezing those numbers.
Okay. And the solar plant, what kind of ROI are you looking at? What kind of cost saving is based on 80-90 crore capex? Because the number is large, considering the size of it. So what will be the savings, roughly?
Piyush, you want to answer?
Yeah, so the payback on that one would be less than 5 years, between 4 and 5 years. And in terms of rate of return, it would be about 20%.
And this is my last question. So, intangible development is a 40 to 50 crore cost. So, all this we are capitalizing on our books or how?
Yeah. So, it goes under the intangible assets under development initially, and when the when the project is handed over to the plant, then at that time it gets capitalized and amortized over a period of time.
So this year we had about 40 crore intangible asset cost. So how much did we book in the P&L?
No, see, 43 crores was the total spend, of which 17 crores was capitalized. Around 7 crores was basically written off to P&L. And the other is still under development. So it remains under intangible assets under development.
Okay, so as quick as
sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Madha, may we request you to join the question queue?
Just finishing on this part. So as soon as we commercialize a project, we'll book the cost on P&L, is it?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So the cost, it is amortized over 5 years.
It is amortized over 5 years, so it goes into the block, the fixed asset block.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants to please limit your question to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So my first question was on the CDMO segment. So during the year, if you look at it, our commercialized molecules have gone up by, like, we have added 5 molecules in our already commercialized molecules of 16, which was there at the start of the year. So the scale up that we have seen in the CMO CDMO segments, has it been primarily because of this 5 new commercialized molecules which have been added? And second part of that question was, do we have the commercialized in the commercialized molecule portfolio that we have, are there any molecules which have a potential to become blockbuster molecules and scale up to, 200, 300 crore kind of revenue per molecule over the next few years?
Yeah, I will just to give clarity on these numbers, so this is a cumulative number of the products that we are mentioning, is that 21 commercialized. We may not operate all 21 manufacturing may happen in the entire year. So these are the projects which are still viable and they are in the commercial stage, whereas 19 products are in the developmental phase at our end. So that is the breakup, and every year, we may do some of them or we may do more of them. So it depends on how the customer's requirements are and how they request us to produce these products. But these are the commercial products that we have with the 16 customers that we have. And in terms of overall, we have good projects. Of course, we can't share confidential detail about the size, and because we are bound by the confidentiality agreement with our customers.
And sir, the second part of the question, you know, do you have some forecast from your, you know, innovator company that some of these molecules or few of these molecules have a potential to become blockbusters and, you know, reach a scale of 200, 300 crore from a single molecule? Not, you know, in the near term, but maybe, let's say, you know, 3-4 years down the line when they scale up.
Yes. So I did reply to you that we can't share that information. There are some good potential products. That is what we can share with you now.
So my second question was on the Xanthine part. You know, Xanthine, we are doing a, you know, despite a significant decline in prices, we are expanding our capacity in a big way from around 5,000 tons to almost 9,000 tons. And so, you know, what is leading to this expansion, you know, such a big expansion? And, you know, how are we seeing, you know, the growth in the segment over the next 2-3 years?
So typically,
typically
all our customers are looking at us as a sustainable partner, and to have a significant portfolio on their purchasing list, we find it is important for us to expand and be a world scale capacity for Xanthine business, and that is the reason why we are expanding. And as everyone also is seeing, you know, China plus one is a very important criteria for all the customers in current times.
So we already have tied up for this incremental capacity which is coming up? Like, we have indication from our customers for that?
Yeah, the indications are there, and beyond that, it is confidential to share more details.
Okay. But, on the API intermediate part, you know, we saw top line growth of around 9% last year. So what is the outlook for this segment? You know, how do you see this segment shaping up for us over the next 2-3 years?
So there is, as Rasesh explained in his speech, we have a lifestyle APIs where which are sustainable and which are sticky in nature, where, you know, anti-cancer, anti-diabetic range of products which we are looking at some growth potential in coming years.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Burman Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a wonderful set of numbers. My first question is it possible for you to quantify the economics for your three segments differently? So basically ROE or ROCE, gross margin and EBITDA respectively for Xanthine and non-Xanthine. CDMO and APIs, I understand it might be clubbed, but for Xanthine and non-Xanthine, if you can separately classify.
Yeah, currently we are not doing this classification. Maybe we will look at it if there is a possibility of doing it in future.
Got it. So on Xanthine side, right, so the end market demand of Xanthine derivatives, in my understanding, is growing at a 5 to 7% CAGR. Now with 15 to 20% market share, you are a sizable player already globally. So if I look at a longer term horizon, right, 5 to 7 years, will you be growing at a similar rate as the end market, or are you looking at a much faster growth rate, and what will support this growth?
As you know that we are 15-20% in terms of market share with these large customers, but you know they are definitely requesting more quantities from us, and that's why we are expanding. And as Hetal mentioned that, you know, we would be doing this expansion wisely to ensure that we remain a very sizable player in this market among top three in the world. So that is the endeavor that we have, that, you know, we have sizable capacity available for their requirement. Overall, we see developed market growing. India market is also growing in terms of demand. And we also see diverse usages of these Xanthine derivatives in home and personal care, and we have also, I was reading an article today that there is a possibility of usage of these Xanthine derivatives in the EV space also. So there are newer end usages which we anticipate may come apart from the traditional end usage of the Xanthine derivatives. There is a possibility of that also.
Sorry, sir, you had previously also hinted at new capacities for xanthine in China, etc., right? And now as you are also significantly adding capacities, so do you foresee any kind of overcapacity scenario in the market and especially competition from Chinese players? And also this 9,000 empty capacity, how soon do you think you will be able to utilize that effectively?
I think since it is a brownfield project, just to answer to your second question, the capacity utilization can be relatively faster, though the approval gestation period will be there, but we see that we will be able to have the capacity utilization within 2 years' time. And yes, there is going to be a significant capacity, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, the strategic geographical which we would want to bring in, and our customers are also excited on the expansion front with us.
So basically,
the advantage that we are giving to our customers is completely non-dependence, and also the green and sustainable manufacturing assets that we have with the green power that we are now investing in, and our overall total carbon footprint also will be much better than the other competitors.
Got it. So basically you don't foresee that overcapacities might be a challenge because of non-China and sort of green product, your value chain. And second, if it is active at the end of FY25, expansions happen by end of FY25, by FY27, you are expecting to utilize it fully, if I got it correct.
Yes.
And sir, on your right P&L, this quarter, OPEX has seen a drastic increase of 35% QOQ and 27% YOY. So that is one. What do you see as the normalized level? And second, our tax rate has also been 32% in Q4 and 28% for FY24. And there are some deferred tax liabilities of 100 CR plus. So want your inputs on OPEX and tax rate.
Yeah, so OPEX in this quarter has been higher. The major component, as we earlier also touched upon, was there's a write-down of R&D. The projects in R&D to the tune of about 6.5 crores. And also in line with the increase in the sale, there has been an increase in the freight. So that these two are the major components which has basically, you know, contributed to the increase in OPEX quarter on quarter and YOY. But if you see year on year, you know, it has barely grown by 4 crores. So from 303 to 307 on consolidated basis.
Thank you, sir. Before we take the next question, participants are requested to limit their question to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Total Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. So my first question is on the CDMO. So you talked about, development on the peptide side. So, if you can talk a bit about capacity development on some higher entry barrier things like ADCs, peptides, sterile, where are we on that capacity and capability building? And, a question tied to that, globally with GLP-1 thing, there is a lot of shortage on the, on the API side, which are peptides and fill-to-finish side. So are we anywhere there in that value chain present?
Yeah, as you rightly mentioned, that these are high barrier, research which requires us to enter this segment, and our endeavor with the new R&D center and the newer, capabilities of the personnel that have joined us in this new R&D center is to establish this business going forward. And I think it will take a couple of years, 2 to 3 years, for us to gain confidence, have more skill sets, and some manufacturing assets being put up simultaneously to develop these segments in future. So that is what I mentioned, that we have started the journey. I think it will take 2-3 years for us to see some, light of the day in this area.
Okay. So it's safe to assume that the Atali expansion in current form doesn't include any of this. That's safe to assume that.
No, no. We are investing in R&D assets currently. Okay. We are investing in R&D assets for the peptide R&D, and we are also investing in the flow chemistry and other newer chemistries where we can do the high barrier research.
Okay, got it. And second question, sir, on the API side, I think our, the API expansion, I think the validation and everything should start and, kind of get completed. So, API moved from 550 to 600 crore this year. So do we look at slightly better growth, once this, because now this capacity will come on stream and we'll start utilizing that. And when do we expect, 60-70% utilization of this additional API capacity that we have put up?
Yeah, basically, Hetal, you want to take this question?
Yeah, so most of the validations are completed and we have DMF has got approved and from this year onwards, we will see the growth coming in from the additional block that we put up last year.
Okay, so 10% growth that we had last year. So should we expect better growth because now the capacities are in place?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's from me.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from Himalaya Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. My question is also on the CDMO side. You said that the main work that you do is mainly KSM and RSM. So are you supplying these to the API manufacturers who in turn make the APIs and sell to innovators, or are you working directly with innovators?
We do both.
In the space of CDMO, CMO, whatever the APIs are made by whichever partners, all the rights and the patents are assigned to the innovator only, and innovator completely understands who are the KSM, RSM providers. So, whoever we may be working with, ultimately we are working with the innovators at the end of the day. So, an innovator is aware that Aarti is working with them directly, indirectly, and collaborating with them for this project.
Understand. And typically in the CDMO space, what stage do we get involved in? Do we get involved in after the innovator has received commercial approval, or we get involved a lot more during the phase one, phase two trials as well?
See, there is a preclinical phase and there is a clinical phase and then there is a commercialization phase. So there are three phases. So we largely do, and we are not doing too much work in the preclinical phase. We do clinical phase, largely late clinical phase and the commercial phase. So most of the projects that we are getting entry and where we are working more closely is the middle segment, clinical phase, where we are partnering with them. And then once the product becomes commercial, we can see large growth happening in the projects which are passing through this clinical phase approval.
Understand. And the choice of working with Aarti is made by the intermediate supplier or by the innovator? Who makes that decision?
Innovator is making this decision.
Understand. And typically, what would be our market share for the molecules where we are working? You mentioned we won't be the sole supplier, but like typically of the supplies of the KSM or RSM that we are supplying, what percentage would be from us and what percentage would be from other suppliers from China and Europe?
Ms. Shreya, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello.
Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, so just a clarification on. So you mentioned that the primary raw material facility for Zanthin is currently non-operating because we are sourcing the raw materials at better pricing from China. So, sir, can we use that facility for any other product?
Yeah, we are trying to develop new projects also based on that capability, and I think in future coming years we will see that happening also.
What?
And those and products will be value-added products.
And sir, next question, sir. You mentioned the big rationale for investing into Zanthin capacity is because a lot of innovator companies and our customers are trying to find an alternative other than China. Sir, but is it not like because we ourselves are sourcing the raw material from China, so that doesn't directly reduces their dependency on China. So I just wanted to get a bigger picture on how are the customers guiding us on Zanthin and what is the big rationale for expanding into this?
Yeah, we have capabilities of completely being zero dependence on China. Also, only one intermediary that we have an option to buy from China or manufacture ourselves, but other than that, all other 30 raw materials are being sourced from elsewhere. So that is the rationale that they have, and we have developed and demonstrated the capabilities to do that also, and that we are operating time to time that facility also because we have to keep that ready as well, just in case.
Got it, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Gaurav from KCM. Please go ahead, sir.
This call is now being recorded.
Am I audible? So I have two questions.
Yes, Gaurav.
Yeah. So first, as you said that we have increased the capacity from 4,000 to 5,000 in the Zanthin. So that 1,000 in the FY23, we have increased the capacity. So that is for export or we are consuming it domestically?
Export.
Okay. And the second one is, are there any approvals required for the increasing capacity from 5,000 to the 9,000? And what are the price delta for the pharma and the food and beverages end use? Because in the report, it is mentioned that we are increasing the end use as a food and beverages.
The difference is pharma, currently we are not present in the regulated pharma space in caffeine and theophylline for CEP and USGMS. But with this new expansion, we will enter into that space as well, along with increase in the food and beverage. The volumes are much bigger in food and beverage relatively compared to the pharma. So pharma has a better realization, but at the same time, the volumes are lower.
Okay. So are there any pending approvals?
Since we are doing a brownfield project, the approvals for the new capacities will be easier compared to the greenfield project.
Okay. And in the past, if you see in the 2 to 3 years, the price of the caffeine was very high, and that was the reason why we were able to achieve the good margins. So are there any now the prices are reducing day by day. So are there any, preparations done by RP to overcome that and, sustain the margins?
Yeah, so along with the finished good prices, the raw material prices also have come down to a relatively same level. And at the same time with this solar project and we are continuously working on the improvement on manufacturing cost as well as on the raw material cost. So that is a continuous practice at our end, and we will see, going forward, our endeavor is to be always competitive.
And are we trying any backward integration for the, manufacturing of synthetic caffeine?
So we manufacture synthetic caffeine only, and as we have earlier mentioned that we have an option to be fully independent of China and have a lot of our intermediates manufactured in-house by RT and the group companies of RT, apart from and the other intermediates to be bought from India alone.
Okay, and now we are increasing capacity to 9,000. So again, the 4,000 ton capacity. So are we seeing any opportunities domestically or exporting the whole?
It will be both.
Both.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Yeah, I'm audible.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So I just wanted to know, like, the brownfield expansion that we are doing in Attari for 300 crores kind of a thing, how much is the asset turn that we expect there in a year's time frame?
Attali is a greenfield expansion. It is not a brownfield expansion.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, greenfield, yeah.
Yeah. So in the greenfield expansion, the endeavor is to get 1 plus asset turn, 1 to 1.2. Depends on the number of stages that we are doing. Ultimately, the idea is that how do we get the gross margin improvement with these newer assets. So I think gross turn, even if it is lower, I think the number of stages that we are adding and the margin profile of the product that we will do there, will define the profitability of this new asset. And as you know, once we are doing more and more CDMO, CMO work and that site gets operationalized with those large requirements of the customers, we will have good overall gross margins. It may not have great asset turn of, more than one, I think. We will see how it goes.
Okay. And how about the other greenfield capex apart from this? I mean, you had a total of 600, right?
So there are only two greenfield capexes that we are doing. Total Attali project was 375 crore apart from the land cost. And the greenfield project that we are doing is the solar, where we are spending close to 80 to 90 crores for the solar. Okay. So these two combined projects are close to 500 crore.
And solar, you mentioned
that. We already spent some money.
Okay.
Solar will be operational in the current year only.
Yeah,
that will be operational within end of this year. Last quarter, it will get operationalized.
And payback would be 5 to 6 years, the payback will come.
No, less than 5 years.
Four to five years.
Okay, 4 to 5 years. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, with regards to this Zensin project of 5,000 to 9,000, in how much time do we expect to start this project? Or by when do we start project?
It will be done in phased manner. I think we will have 12 to 15 months in which, we'll be able to complete the expansion.
12 to 15 months from today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And typically, how much time it will take to ramp this up to the optimum utilization?
2 years after the expansion is completed.
Okay. And for this year, that is FY25, because that means the new additional capacity will start generating sales from FY26 onwards. So current year for FY25, do we feel the volume growth, given the optimum utilization, what kind of volume growth do we expect this year, FY25, on Zenti? Or will we fall short of capacity?
So whatever current of utilization is 90%, so we will try to increase the utilization. We endeavor is that how we can go to 95% or more. So that is what the endeavor is. But however, as it is a brownfield expansion, we will also be carrying out certain modifications in the existing assets. So with that, and we will have more disruptions also. So it's a mixed bag, I think. We will have to see how best we can utilize our assets.
Okay. And so, just to clarify, in the previous call, we have been mentioning about Atali CapEx giving an asset turnover of somewhere around 1.6 to 2 times. So just to understand, you just mentioned it is around 1 to 1.2 times. So is there some change in what we are doing?
No, that 1.6 to 2 number needs to be revisited. No, I think that's...
No, we have not. I don't think that number, there may be some confusion for that number.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ahmed Madha from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Just one question. If you look at the amount of capex you have done in the last 3 odd years and also in next 2 years, which you have guided, my guess is we are roughly doubling our gross block between FY22 and FY26. And if you look at the guidance which you are giving in terms of 10% or 12 to 15%, are they being too conservative, or how should I look at it? Because I'm not able to synthesize between the capex we are doing and the growth guidance we are giving.
Currently, our gross block is close to 1,000 crore, and we are going to add another 600 crores of gross block in this next year or 15-18 months. So with that, you know, we will have a sizable, almost 50-60% additional gross block, and that is definitely going to add overall, it is going to add to the bottom line and profitability of the company. So the guidance that now we have, earlier it was 12 to 17%, now we are saying that it will be 15% and more. So that is what we have done, is we have improved the guidance overall.
Okay. And in terms of working capital, is there any scope for squeezing or no improving it from the current levels, or this is the steady number?
No, in terms of number of, you know, the absolute amount, we think, you know, it will remain at this level. But in terms of number of days, you know, we are trying to get it down.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's good, sir.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I had a pending question on our taxation rate. So for Q4, we had a tax rate of 32% and entire year 28%. So want to understand what is the normalized tax rate for us. And also there are 107 crore of deferred tax liabilities. So if you could just elaborate on that. And these have increased from 80 crore earlier.
Yeah. So let me answer that. So basically, you know, to answer the question on the normalized tax rate, it should be around, you know, between 25 and 25.5% of PBT. The reason why, you know, in Q4 and the entire year the tax rate has gone up is because of the operationalization and capitalization of the new R&D center, which has come in Maharashtra. So in R&D, as you know, in tax we get 100% deduction, whereas in books it has just come in Q4. So that has created the difference, and that difference goes as a deferred tax liability.
All right. And sir, on Atali, as you mentioned, 1 to 1.2 times asset turn. So if we just assume 20% odd EBITDA margins, which you have been making, and roughly 180 days sort of working capital, our ROEs would likely be in low teens. What kind of ROCE, ROE are we targeting from this project on optimal utilization?
We will see, because the Atali project is largely directed towards the CMO, CDMO also. So overall, as that pie increases, we will see uptake in the gross margins also. So with that, I think we will have a better number than what you are.
Okay. Also, sir, on the intangible assets side, which you had elaborated on earlier on the balance sheet, I want to understand the nature of these capitalizations that you are making. What kind of expenses are these? So both intangible assets under development of 58 CR and also other intangible assets of roughly 17 CR that you have.
No, see, other intangible assets are the capitalization of these products which we do R&D on. So once they are handed over and commercialized, they move under intangible assets from intangible assets under development.
If you can just elaborate on what kind of expenses are being capitalized, like is it the salary of employees, material expenses?
Yeah, so the expenses which are directly attributable to the R&D activity. So as you rightly said, it is salaries of all these people, you know, scientists working on the development, as well as the consumables, the RMC, that raw materials that are used. And other direct attributable costs like consumables.
Understood. Last question of from my side is on WAPI, the CAPEX that you are doing. So how big is the unit? How much are you planning to spend? And again, what kind of revenue potential or traction do you expect from it?
So WAPI,
yeah,
any commercial block?
Good.
Yeah. Semi-commercial block expansion is not a very large expansion, but you know, it is going to fill in the gap that we had. And it may not have too big material impact on overall top line or bottom line, but it is going to provide us more seeding projects which can have future potential for our Atali and WAPI assets.
Got it. And sir, would you like to give any EBITDA margin guidance on for the standalone business? I think you're mentioned 20 to 22%.
No, I'm asking about margin.
Achha, margin. Hemant, we are basically tracking more the absolute number increase, as we earlier said. You know, the margins is a function of top line, which in turn is a function of, it is in some segment, a function of finished good prices.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Pantia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Just want some clarification on CAPEX. In FY25, how much is going to be the actual cash outflow on account of CAPEX?
Yes.
Around 550 crores on tangible and around 50 crores on intangible. So we are looking at some anywhere between 550 and 600 crores of CAPEX on both intangible as well as tangible assets.
Okay, so in our previous presentations, Atali project CAPEX is about 350 to 500 crore in phase one is what is written. Now, is there any change in that number?
No, there is no change, but then some of that CAPEX has already happened in this year.
So how much has happened out of this? So what is the Atali CAPEX total for?
The total estimated CAPEX that we had anticipated is about 375 crores. Between 375...
Apart from the land.
So land acquisition had happened a couple of years back.
50 crores. Yeah, that was another 50 crores.
Okay, so that was spent before?
Yeah.
Okay, so out of this 375...
It's a very large land parcel that we have. We have a close to 80-acre land, and where we can do current expansion, kind of 10 expansions. So we can put 10 blocks of 100 crore plus CAPEX in the same site. So now the trend is that we put a large site which does not require re-audits or re-approval from the innovators or the regulatory authorities, and that is the concept that we are driving with this Atali expansion, that we will have one very large site where we can rationalize the cost of manpower due to consolidation of manufacturing assets.
Okay. So 375 was is the actual Atali CAPEX, and how much is spent in 24 out of this?
Around 30 crores.
Okay, so largely you will be spending the entire CAPEX in 25. And then this 1890 crore on solar is something new, right?
Yeah, that was approved during the FY24.
Okay. So this 340 of Atali will be spending, and plus will be spending 1890 crores on the solar.
Correct.
Right, and plus 40
brownfield of Zentin.
Okay, that is how much will be Zentin? 150 crore odd.
Yeah.
As it was clarified, it is still being frozen, but the kind of numbers it would come to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question, and I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I would like to thank all the investors and analysts for joining our call. Good day.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Aarti Pharma Labs Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.